strap yourself in and adjust your mirrors for maximum visibility. It's time for Travelling Tunes with Dr. Kirsten Zemke.
And we've got Kirsten here. Good morning, Kirsten. How are you?
Good morning. I've had a rough week, but I'm very excited for our topic today.
Oh, yes. Well, that's a good thing that the topic, I feel like this genre of music that we're about to talk about is so kind of uplifting.
Relaxing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So what are we talking about today, Kirsten?
So it's GVC, which is a micro aesthetic, Global Village Coffee House. Ah. And so it is a reaction against sort of the more technological styles. This style emerged in the, I've just lost my timeline. Well, you know, in the 90s. And it's a Starbucks. It's sort of,
right.
You know, bohemian, eclectic, cozy, a natural, as we'll hear today, unfortunately, it's a little bit faux multicultural. And it was everywhere. Like I saw, looking into these aesthetics, it was like in packaging and labels, artists like Keith Haring, Chagall, this sort of faux tribal, and oh my God, I learned something. Cocopelli, I don't know if you've ever heard of it. That's that little guy. It's a little guy, he's usually just seen in black, and he's got dreads and hunched over playing a flute.
Oh, right.
Like
a
little iconography guy. And he's actually a flute playing deity, but that little character was seen in, like, you know, advertising and posters.
Yeah.
Hand drawings, squiggles, colors. Oh, think of the TV show Friends.
Right.
Yes.
Central Perk.
Okay.
Yeah. Yeah. So it's so weird. Like, I was like, it's been there the whole time. I didn't know this thing had a name.
Yeah.
I know.
Well, we got this track here, Sunshine by Dario G.
Yeah.
Quite cruisy, isn't it?
Yeah. 1997.
Wow.
Very uplifting indeed.
Yeah, I know some of you will notice it heavily samples another track called Life in a Northern Town by Dream Academy.
Mm-hmm.
But here's the weird thing. When I looked into this guy, he died in 2024 at age 53.
Oh my gosh.
I was like, oh, bro, that's really sad.
That's sad.
Yeah, now he had another hit, kind of, it sounded like this in 1998. And that became like a World Cup anthem. So he was kind of known for this sort of vibe. He calls himself a dance producer. So just creating this thing that sounds almost like you're traveling, but you're not really doing any of the hard part of actually engaging with other cultures. you're sitting in your coffee shop.
Is that why they call it Global Village?
Yeah.
Right.
And I guess, you know, your coffee comes from various places too, you know, like, it's like, I'm not really stepping out of my comfort zone, but I'm dabbling. Now, I picked some of the other artists that are mentioned, famous ones like Paul Simon, Enya. Now, some of them aren't as global as far as that sort of cultural appropriation style, like R.E.M., but even Sting did sort of like a world music album called Desert Rose. Nelly Furtado, I'm Like a Bird.
It is too. No, now you mention it, that's exactly the vibe.
Yeah, so anything you can hear. So other artists like Tori Amos, Natalie Merchant. But anyway, it's a really big, this has come up in the show a lot because I'm sort of looking at, you know, genres or places, but now that a lot of these things are codified in Spotify playlists, and people are still making these playlists. So it's obviously a thing, you know, that, you know, people want to either put together or have in the background.
That kind of easy listening vibe.
Yes. Now, so it has to have the right tempo,
uh-huh.
The right volume. Some people, when they're in the coffee shop, are actually like studying. So it's things that, you know, psychologists have shown help you with your memory and with learning. Like, is somebody, oh my God, academics, I'm allowed to criticize them, did a study that it could affect the taste of the coffee.
Oh, really? Wow.
What do you think, Kirsten?
I don't think so. But but often you're there in the morning, so it can't be too sleepy.
Yeah.
Oh, and here's another qualification. It can't be louder than a conversation.
Right. Ah. Well, we got this track here, Send Me On My Way, Rusted Roots. Have a little listen to this. Just makes me think of Ice Age, the movie.
It's in a lot of films, that one.
Yeah.
Absolutely right, yeah.
Yeah.
I think it's been in Matilda's the one I've got written down.
Yeah, that's the one I was thinking of.
It's like a fake Paul Simon. Right?
It is. Oh my gosh, it is. Now it's
Paul Simon from Wish.
Timu, yeah.
Timu, so
yeah.
Paul Simon.
1994. What's so funny is that he's American, but he says that the music he creates is African, Latin American, Indian, and Native American. It's like, bro, I don't know.
Yeah.
But yeah. And he Ice Age 2. Yeah, you know, he just talks about now, you know, that it's just had a life of its own. You know, you create this song. Mm. And that apparently some people like find it just one of the iconic 90s tracks. Like, it just encapsulates so much about it. So I guess, you know, you're just an artist making a song and this thing just becomes. Oh, yeah. Another comment on it is, so it wasn't commercially successful at the time. It's usage in films. And in this, I guess, air quotes, vibe or micro style. Mm. And you guys have been mentioning this sort of positive vibes. Yeah, unbridled optimism, somebody said. You know,
nice.
Just such a weird thing. Now, those of you who are really into this, apparently in 1998, it got usurped by Mission School Vibe, which is based in a mission district in San Francisco. Sort of pop surrealism, Basquiat design. Anyway, so when this one went out in 1998, I'm obviously not very stylish because I didn't notice all these shifts of these micro styles. But when you look into it, it's there. And so interesting.
Do you think they're kind of easy listeningness? You know, the fact that one of the criteria to write a song like this is to be really easy listening. Do you think it lends itself to that kind of diverse popularity, like in a film, in a coffee shop?
Yeah, 100%. Like, it's not challenging you, you know, like I said, even with the tempo and the volume, but I think also it's not challenging you culturally or intellectually because, you know, if you actually were listening to some African music, you might be like, I don't understand that.
Or, yeah, what are they saying?
Yeah, or that's too fast. You know, like, so it's really sort of, but I guess that's part of the global thing. It's like, it has to be sort of mitigated and watered down so much that you could play it in this coffee shop at any part of the globe. And that you and I could walk in to a coffee shop, you know, in Zimbabwe, in Hong Kong, you know, and will be the same as if we're walking into it in Auckland. I mean, how weird is that?
Do you think this sort of coffee shop, international coffee shop like a Starbucks, is kind of losing its, like, they don't seem maybe as popular as they once were in modern times? Or maybe I'm not really.
You mean the chain? You mean the chain aspect?
Yeah, the chain coffee place.
Well, see, we're in New Zealand. I don't know. It's hard to tell because, you know, New Zealand's so strong in its coffee culture.
Totally.
So I don't know enough, like, overseas. But one of the other things I read about this is that it's music for brunch but it's also music for train stations, you know, so people who subways and undergrounds will have just those little mini coffee places that you stand, but that will still have music, and the music can create the vibe without the chairs and the throw rugs, you know, like you have to, you're in a busy bustling train station, but that music can still, you know, make you think you're in a cozy spot.
Totally.
It almost feels like quite a lazy attempt to kind of humanize in a way, you know?
Yes, absolutely. Absolutely. You're right. You're so right.
Yeah.
Well, we got this track Under My Sensei by Buzu Beijo. Beijo?
Bayou, I think, maybe.
This one seems a lot more different to the other two. It's a bit more mysterious.
Yeah, it's not as I guess catchy.
Yeah, more background cafe music.
This has such an interesting story. So this is 2001. They're a dub musical duo from Germany.
Oh yeah.
This is their debut album. And so I guess, you know, as you're trying to get famous, you do some collabs and some songwriting. So they've worked with Common, Brian Eno, massive electronica artist, and Fat Freddy's Drop.
You're
New Zealand.
Kidding me.
I was like, what? You know, anytime New Zealand gets mentioned, you know, and overseas things, you're like, oh my God.
That's us.
New Zealand mentioned.
Yeah, that's me. Yes, that's right.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah, so because I hadn't heard of them before or come across it, but obviously they sort of get around. But what's so funny, so here's a dub musical duo from Germany, and they call their music Louisiana Creole, Cajun, with island rhythms. And so like, bro, that's...
Yeah.
Is one of you from there? Like, how are you doing that music? Are you involved? I guess for us, we would measure, I mean, this word, authenticity. So it's like, well... Yes, of course we can all pick up cool music and beats that we enjoy, but there's also sort of all these musics have scenes and histories and sort of, you know what I mean? I guess like people you should check with. I don't know.
Yeah.
You know, it'd be like we wouldn't want an artist doing sort of Māori music and like, you know, unless they sort of came through for a while, knew certain people, worked with them. So anyway, I mean, I haven't heard anyone get super offended at these guys, but anyway, I just thought it was funny.
That is hilarious. It's funny that these people are just being like, yeah, my music's from here. Like, they can just choose.
I know.
They can just point on a globe and be like, yup.
Yeah.
We're going to make music from here.
Yeah, on the other hand, you know, if you and I started a band, we might say, look, I really love reggae. Well, actually, New Zealand's done that. They've created their own reggae. But, you know, yeah, we just pick some other thing. I'm going to make Thai music. And you're like, okay, well, maybe talk to some Thai people or... But so I hope everybody's feeling really like relaxed, like they're chilling in a coffee shop, holding their mug.
Yeah.
I've got to say, my coffee was good. I don't think it tasted bitter.
Yeah, I don't know. We'll have to run that test again. Let's...
Results are inconclusive.
A very interesting genre, and I guess it faded out in the kind of noughties, so it's given rise to, you know, probably more benign coffee shop music these days, wouldn't you agree?
Actually, that's true, and I think, you know, the sort of diversifying, you know, maybe some more where you live. But yeah, I don't know. So every next time you go actually into a coffee place, have a listen to what music is playing, or go create your own Spotify playlist for what you want to hear in a coffee shop.
Oh, I like that. I like that idea.
Well, thank you so much, Dr. Kirsten Zipke.
Thank you so much, Kirsten. That was a really, really interesting, interesting one to choose. Yeah, loved it.
Yeah, not one I've really considered ever. Village Coffee House.
That's right. All right. See you next week.
Great.
Thanks, Kirsten.
Thanks, Kirsten.
See ya.
Bye.
That was Traveling Tunes with Dr. Kirsten Zimke.
That was incredibly interesting.
That was incredibly interesting.
I guess when you walk into a coffee shop, you're not really like, oh, what track is playing?
No, you're like, I need to get in, get out. get to where I'm going as soon as possible. I can't say I've been into a Starbucks particularly recently, but yeah, no, it's very interesting.
Interesting one. Here's a track that I reckon I'd choose for one of my coffee shop playlists.
Oh, yeah?
Mine would be so in your face.
Mocha Millie's. Is that what your coffee place would be called?
I don't think I could do it. I make the worst coffee you've ever tasted in your life, like, promise. Anyway, this is Steel and Soul from Living Perfection. Thanks to Kirsten Zemke for coming and talking to us about Global Village Coffee House music. Very interesting.